When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. It just makes me so happy when people say they've seen me in that Pella commercial on TV. I love hearing that. My experience with Pella, it just was top notch. The showroom in Omaha was amazing. The service, the finished product, the people, just first class the whole way. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Shoot 360 Lincoln. My brother and I are the owners of the world's most advanced basketball training facility right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's a membership-based national franchise that uses NBA-level technology that provides real-time feedback after every shooting, passing, and ball handling rep you take inside of our facility. We got a brand new website that is pretty slick. Check it out, shoot360lincoln.com. You can learn more about the facility, the technology, the splash meter that we use in our shooting bays. That's just what really separates Shoot 360. You can also learn about the camps, the clinics, the classes, the personal training, and so much more. So check out the website, shoot360lincoln.com. Okay. It is Sunday, March 24th, and I just got back home into my pod studio, and we got to recap what was, as Greg McDermott put it perfectly in our post-game interview with him on the floor right after the game in Pittsburgh. He said, that was an epic game, and it truly was. Creighton beats Oregon in double overtime, 86-73. That was one of the craziest games I've ever seen in person. And I'll just echo what former Creighton Athletic Director Bruce Rasmussen said in a quick post-game chat with him. He said, I think that was maybe the greatest win in Creighton basketball history. And I know that feels like sometimes when you say things like that, you're like, oh, man, it feels like hyperbole. But I don't know, man, considering the stage, considering the circumstances, considering the two head coaches involved, the wild swings, the clutch plays, the clutch shots made by multiple players, I'm hard pressed to think of a bigger win in Creighton history. I mean, it's Greg McDermott versus Dana Altman. The man that built it versus the man that has taken it to incredible heights. NCAA tournament, trip to the Sweet 16 on the line. Last game of the day on Saturday night of the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. Tons of eyeballs watching. And for Creighton to seemingly come back from basically flatlined, not once but twice, it's just incredible. I don't even know where to begin with kind of unpacking and analyzing this one. I was obviously courtside on the call with John Bishop, and it was an amazing experience. The intensity, the emotions, the energy, just sky high, a 10 out of 10. And to see the players all post-game in the locker room was pretty special. And to give a soaked in water Greg McDermott a big five and hug afterwards, pretty special. And then to see the Creighton fans in the lobby of the hotel in Pittsburgh waiting for the team as they made it back from the arena at basically 1 o'clock in the morning, pretty special. Pretty dang special. So the game itself, lots to dive into. Obviously, having played for Dana Altman, I know and I knew the enormous challenge that was in store for Creighton. He's an incredible coach, guys. He knows how to make the game tough. He knows how to control the tempo of a game. That matchup zone is really tough. The three-quarter court press is really challenging. The way he can slow a game down, control the tempo, all those elements were on full display in that game. And I had three keys to the game in my pregame show, in the pregame show on the radio with Bishop. And to me, my three keys were the three-point line. I felt like Creighton was going to be able to get open shots against that matchup zone. Just felt like you better make them. The second key was going to be pace, trying to push the tempo, attack and transition, just to make sure that the game didn't get slowed down. Also because I didn't think Oregon was great in transition defense. And B, sometimes the best way to attack a zone is to beat it down the floor and not let it get set. But I knew Coach Altman, given how shorthanded they were, and I knew he was going to try and slow that game down. And then my third key was going to be rebounding. I thought it would be really important. And that's kind of tied into to my second key of pace, because oftentimes if you can control the glass, you can control the pace. And in the first half, I thought Creighton could have honestly buried Oregon if they wouldn't have been ice cold from three. Creighton got wide open threes for the entire first half. But Creighton, unfortunately, went 6-for-23 from three, and they were honestly 23 wide-open threes. Ashworth went 1-for-6. Alexander goes 2-for-6. Baylor Shireman goes 2-for-6. Mason Miller goes 0-for-2. Francisco Farabello goes 1-for-2, and Isaac Trout goes 0-for-1. But it was frustrating from a Creighton perspective, to watch that first half, because you're sitting there and going, man, Creighton is getting wide open looks. If they were making them, they could blow this thing open, and they weren't. At least in that first half, Creighton controlled the glass. They were +8 in the first half with 9 offensive rebounds and had a lot of transition opportunities because of that. That's where they found a lot of their open threes. So I just felt like the first half was just, my main emotion was frustrating, and it also kind of felt like a missed opportunity too. Because it really felt like Creighton could have seized complete control of that game, been up 14, 15, 18 points if they'd have made their shots. But instead, it was only a 2-point game at halftime. And then in the second half, it was interesting. Creighton then shot it better from three, but their attempts went way down, and they struggled to kind of convert anything else. The rebounding column then flipped in favor of Oregon, and the top two ducks in Folly Dante and Jermaine Cousinard started going off. It became increasingly evident and obvious that Oregon basically had two guys, especially when Shellstad went down later in the second half. But Cousinard and Dante, that was it. Became pretty obvious that it was a two-man show. And once that became pretty obvious, I was pleading on the radio call for Greg McDermott to switch up his ball screen coverage and defensive plan for Cousinard. I thought you needed to double Cousinard. I thought you needed to hard hedge Cousinard. I thought you needed to get multiple bodies in driving gaps when Cousinard had the ball. I thought if the ball went into Dante, you had to completely, fully collapse on him and help off everybody not named Cousinard. And I thought you had to get it out of Cousinard's hands and make someone else beat you. And I thought once Creighton kind of made this switch, they had much better success defensively. I mean, chew on this. Cousinard and Dante scored all but 2 of Oregon's points in the second half. They combined to score 37 of Oregon's 39 points. It was a two-man team. And Creighton tried to adjust to that, and they did. But the reality is, even with adjusting to that, it wasn't like they could completely stop it. And there were two moments in the second half where it seemed like it was maybe too late and it didn't matter. I'll be real honest with you guys. I thought Creighton was basically done. I thought it was over when it was 58-52 with a little under 5 minutes left. And I thought it was basically completely over when it was 62-58 with under a minute left. And even though Baylor Shireman hit the game tying shot at the end of regulation with about 10 seconds left to send it into overtime, I thought arguably the biggest shot of the game was Steven Ashworth's three when it was 58-52. Big news, I'm excited to be working with Autograph, co-founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph app is where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like you access to all the best college sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing the things you already do as a fan, like listening to this podcast, following news on your team, sharing your favorite content, and more. Download the free Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play Store today and use the referral code BAH, my last name, B-A-H-E. That's referral code BAH, B-A-H-E. See you at the game. Like I said, I thought Creighton was close to being flatlined to 58-52. All the momentum was with Oregon. Cousinard was rolling. Creighton was having a really hard time scoring. And I knew Coach Altman was going to take the air out of the ball and hold it for 30 seconds for every single possession for the rest of the game. And so the amount of possessions that were going to be available to Creighton were going to be extremely limited, making it so Creighton's margin for error was going to be really thin to make a comeback. But Steven Ashworth's three to make it 58-55 with under 5 minutes left, it just was a massive shot to keep Creighton alive, to keep him afloat. I can't express being courtside how big of a shot that was. And while multiple Blue Jays made clutch shots and clutch plays, nobody was more clutch than Baylor Shireman was in the final minute of that game. I mean, damn, guys. Creighton, down 4, 62-58, with under a minute left. Oregon has the ball. I thought I saw someone tweeted out that at this point, Oregon's win probability was like at over 90%. But Creighton down 4, Oregon has the ball. Creighton gets a stop. Baylor Shireman gets the rebound, takes off with the basketball, goes coast to coast, and intelligently just kind of puts his head down, attacks the basket, and draws a foul. He knew Dante was trailing him, so he knew that the rim protection wasn't quite there, and he just put his head down, played with a little burst, played with some strength, draws a foul. Smart. He then calmly steps up to the free throw line, hits two free throws, 62-60. Creighton then perfectly executes their full court pressure with a little help from Oregon here, in that they deny Cousinard and their good free throw shooters the ball and force the inbounds pass to go to Dante, who was their worst free throw shooter at 60%. The Jays foul him, put him to the line for a 1-1. So Dante steps up to the free throw line, 1-1, 60% free throw shooter, misses the front end of a free throw of the 1-1. Creighton collects the rebound, and now it's do or die. Greg McDermott ran a little crackback play to get Baylor Shireman a three on the right wing, but Oregon sniffed it out and defended it pretty well. And Baylor Shireman, with great strength, great poise, and great pace, calmly then just takes the ball, drives into the paint, gets to his spot about 14 feet away, pivots, and hits a little Dirk Nowitzki one-legged fall away to tie the game at 62 with about 9 seconds left. Now, of course, you know, you're all fired up, but you knew, okay, here comes Jermaine Cousinard. Cousinard rushes the ball back up the floor. Trey Alexander picks him up and does a pretty good job, man. He does a pretty good job fighting the dribble, forces a little runner off the right block. Ryan Kalkbrenner came over to contest it, to probably alter it as well, and it banged off the rim, no good. 62-62. we are going to overtime. What an incredibly clutch final minute of the game from Baylor Shireman. 4 points, including a fallaway jumper to tie it with 9 seconds left. And then in both overtimes, every single Creighton Blue Jay that was on the floor made a game-changing, game-winning play. The first overtime, Steven Ashworth hit some big threes, and it really felt like Creighton had it up three, but Jermaine Cousinard, with not a lot of space, after seeing the replay, I thought in real time, I was like, man, what is Shireman doing not being close enough on Cousinard? Cousinard rose up right in front of the Oregon bench and buried a three to send the game into a second overtime. And so it's just, this was the amazing nature of the back and forth of it. It was Oregon that kind of had to pick themselves up off the mat after blowing it at the end of regulation and letting Creighton force overtime. And then it was Creighton that had to do the same thing in the first overtime. Creighton had to kind of pick themselves up off the mat after blowing it and letting Oregon force a second overtime. And then in the final overtime, the second overtime, the levee just broke. I don't know if it was conditioning or just a matter of time, given the fact that it was Oregon had two guys and no other duck that was going to be able to make a play. But man, Creighton just dominated the second overtime. Outscored Oregon 15-2 in the second OT. Kalkbrenner hit a three to put Creighton up six that really felt like the, I don't know if dagger is how you want to put it, but it really felt like, okay, Creighton's winning this game. Baylor Shireman made one of the most incredible plays. Now, I can't remember if this was in the first overtime or the second overtime, but maybe the most incredible play of the game was from Baylor Shireman late in the shot clock on like the left wing. He got double teamed off of a ball screen. He steps through the double team with the shot clock winding down from the 3-point line. Fired a dart laser lob pass to Kalkbrenner on the right side of the rim for an alley-oop layup just as the shot clock expired. It was just an incredible basketball play. The strength, the vision, the poise from Baylor Shireman to step through a double team, fire it up to Kalkbrenner. Unbelievable. And of course, there was Jason Green's tip dunk that maybe was the most fun play of the game. Double overtime. Trey Alexander misses a little 12-footer from the right baseline, and the ball just bounced off the rim perfectly to the opposite side of the rim where Jason Green timed up a tip dunk and just rocked the rim on a putback. And at this point, the arena is pandemonium. Steven Ashworth hit some clutch free throws, and the Blue Jays end up pulling away and winning by 13 points. Just an incredible, incredible basketball game. Some more quick thoughts on this. I mentioned it just a second ago. I thought conditioning made a big difference. Neither team is very deep or plays very many guys. But I thought Creighton had more gas in the tank in both overtimes than Oregon did. And keep in mind, one of the things that you have to remember is the way Creighton runs offense takes a lot of energy and effort. Like, Oregon offensively did a lot of standing, holding the ball, chewing clock, which allowed for Creighton, by the way, to save a little energy on defense. They weren't having to chase a bunch of people around. But on offense for Creighton, the way Creighton continued to push it, and then when they got in the half court, the pace they played with, you know, for Steven Ashworth and Trey Alexander and Baylor Shireman, for those guys, I mean, the way they play offense, it is, you know, penetrate, set your feet, kick, handoff, drive it, hard cut. You know, like those guys are moving a lot, which takes a lot out of you. But Trey Alexander played all 50 minutes. Baylor Shireman played all 50 minutes. Ryan Kalkbrenner played 49 minutes and 33 seconds. And Steven Ashford played 41 minutes. And I thought it was Creighton that looked like they were the team that had more in the tank late, and they were in better shape late. The other thought, how about Jason Green? Just incredible. Been a tough journey for him over the course of this year. So he redshirts last year. Then, you know, he works all the way through the summer. You know, there's a lot of minutes to be had at that four spot. He's battling with Mason Miller and Isaac Trout. And he hurts his hand right before the season starts. Misses 6 weeks, the last couple of weeks of practice, and then a couple of weeks to start the season, which was just a brutal time to get hurt. It derailed his progress, and he misses important time early to carve out his role, carve out his minutes, and get comfortable. And ever since then, you know, he gets cleared, he makes his way back, he's been in and out of the lineup, hasn't played much. But he did an amazing job staying ready, physically, mentally, emotionally. And when the opportunity knocked, Jason Green answered the bell. Creighton doesn't win that game, doesn't win that NCAA tournament game to go to the Sweet 16 without Jason Green. 4 points, 9 rebounds, 6 offensive rebounds, and that tip dunk was the icing on the cake. What a testament to Jason Green's mindset. An amazing game from Jason Green. Also, I mean, Ryan Kalkbrenner was incredible, too. We're so dang spoiled with this guy. I mean, keep in mind, he plays basically the whole game, 49 minutes, 33 seconds. He is battling Infali Dante the entire game. And yes, Infali Dante had an amazing game too, 28 points, 20 rebounds, but he made him work at least. And did a really good job defensively in making it hard to score over the top of him, contesting shots, and then blocking shots. Kalkbrenner finished with 5 blocks. And he also did a good job fighting and changing his ball screen coverage on Kuznard. Like, he had to be a guy out there to trap, to talk where screens were coming from, to be up there to hard hedge, to be able to go from playing drop coverage to hedging to doubling to flying back to battle it with Dante after he hard hedged or trapped. Just a great game. And then he hits the three. Talk about some major guts to take that shot. Final stat line for Kalkbrenner, 19 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks, 49 minutes and 33 seconds. Baylor Shireman was big time. This guy's just, man, this guy's a stud. We've talked about his clutch final minute. I mean, Creighton goes home if it's not for Shireman. 18 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, final 4 points in regulation to keep the game alive and send it to OT. He had to guard Kuznard. Listen, your stars got to be stars in the NCAA tournament or your ass is going home. And Baylor Shireman was a star. Trey Alexander, I thought, played well, even though he didn't necessarily shoot it great. Alexander was 7 of 21 from the floor. Did end up going 4 of 8 from 3. But his ball handling, his ability to attack the paint, to break down the defense, just his presence out there, so valuable. He finished with 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. And again, he played all 50 minutes. And then you got to hand it to Steven Ashworth. In a game where he really didn't shoot it great, his confidence never wavered, and he just kept on stepping up and being confident in himself to take shots. There are a lot of players that after they maybe missed a few would have gotten in their own head and turned down a three or not been too eager to shoot it. But that wasn't Ashworth. And when Creighton really needed it, Ashworth hit some big threes. Again, the 1-3 Ashworth hit when it was 58-52. To make it 58-55, I thought was the biggest shot of the game. Outside of, obviously, Shireman's shot that sent it to overtime. I mean, duh. Ashworth ends up leading Creighton in scoring with 21 points. He was 5 of 15 from 3. And then the last thought, I've been harping on this, but I thought Creighton's experience, NCAA tournament experience, really, really helped them in this game. The fact that Trey Alexander and Baylor Shireman and Ryan Kalkbrenner and Steven Ashworth and Francisco Farabello have all played in the tournament, have all had their backs against the wall in the tournament, allowed them to not panic when things went south and things looked bleak. Inexperienced teams maybe would have gotten frustrated when they were missing threes in that first half. But to get down 58-52 with under 5 minutes left and not flinch and not blink, pretty impressive. To be down 62-58 and not flinch and not blink, pretty impressive. I just thought the experience, which matters this time of year, really, really shined through for Creighton. Just incredible. That was the game of the tournament so far, double overtime thriller, and Creighton finds a way to win it 86-73 and is headed back to the Sweet 16. That's two straight Sweet 16s and three Sweet 16 appearances in 4 years. I'm going to remember that game for a long, long, long time. An absolutely epic basketball game.